Ladies and gentlemen, from the golden microphone of the EIB, it's El Rushbo, reminding you that unless I'm trapped in a drug-addled hillbilly heroin haze, I never listen to the promise of tomorrow. And now, liberal alert, here comes the Colonel.
And welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back with our interview with Sam Milstein, and we're going to ask him to clarify the ease of using DNA instead of fingerprints. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information for today's query. Let me turn on the coin jar.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes. I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins, of course. The spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. So, all right, O spirit of the fountain, here's one for you. Scratch your head on this one. Olympic athlete. What Olympic athlete dated the son of Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu? This was back a few years. You remember, Ceaușescu was not only overthrown, but he was brutally murdered by his subjects. Anyway, what Olympic athlete dated the son of Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
The spirit of the fountain knows, remembers probably pretty well. Olympic athlete dating the son of Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu? If you said Patricia Davis, you're wrong. No. It was Nadia Comăneci. Nadia Comăneci dated the son of Nicolae Ceaușescu. Okay. Back to our program. Okay, we're back on the phone with our guest today, Dr. Samson Milstein. He's professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. And if you were listening in the previous half hour, we were talking about identifying people and about how, you know, there's so many ways of trying to do it with fingerprints, which are showing to have great flaws and sometimes not even admissible in court. But DNA is something that is supposed to be unique to all of us, and I think it's been shown to be that way. And he wants to be able to isolate the DNA of criminal activity rapidly. And so that's what he's working on. And I ask him, you know, what are the possibilities? How are we doing with that? Do you see something on the horizon that will work?
There are methods of analysis of DNA. What we are trying to do, we're not going to change these methods. We will try to cut their numbers, and we will try to stick to the most reliable, if you want, to cut off the time for analysis. So we're not inventing new analysis of DNA, I repeat myself. We're just trying to find out the set of analysis which allow us to do something practical in about half an hour, 40 minutes. So till that time, we kind of keep the person in the room. Colonel, would that work? I do not know. I hope it will. And the reason to focus on DNA, because this is the only biometrics which is not subjected to all kind of deficiencies with other biometrics. Your voice, it changes, your retina, your lenses in the eye, your face recognition, all of it is essentially a subject of changes by age, by physical condition, by condition of testing, and so on.
Interesting that, and I'm fascinated with it. I did have one big question for you, though. We were told in this program several months ago that a person's a scent is unique, and that's the reason the bloodhounds can follow people through, the fields and that sort of thing. Is there a time that a person's scent could be instantaneously analyzed and as it could be with DNA?
I I'm afraid I can't say much about this. I read what the rest of the people are reading about this, but I do not have my opinion. The only thing I know that terrorism as such is not waiting. We know enough of accidents in our country, in Europe, in Israel, and everywhere. So we, in my group, that's the feeling of my group, that we are obligated to develop something which is more secure, which is more secure. So together with the work, on DNA, kind of accelerated testing, we already developed something which is absolutely new technology, more reliable technology of taking map of blood vessels in a finger. And we're saying you're doing contactless fingerprint with infrared source. You will have the map of the same finger. So now you have two technologies to compare. And we are doing this because, God knows, might be next week we'll wake up with some idea how to do quick DNA. Might be not. But this technology we can offer now. Mm-hmm. You're using contactless fingerprinting. Why wouldn't you take, in addition, map of blood vessels in the finger?
I would think that map of blood vessels, though, would be incredibly intricate. You've got all these capillaries, and you're trying to say they would be unique from me to you to somebody else on the map of the blood vessel while you're getting the fingerprint?
It is absolutely unique, but this is, again, it suffers from what I was mentioning before. Your physical condition might be changing it.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Means you're sick, you have a flu, yeah, expect that this would be different.
Well, Dr. Milstein, you're going to be speaking at the Homeland Security Technology Conference. Again, anybody that wants to get some information on that, can go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link, and that will take you to the website for the Homeland Security Technology Conference, and Dr. Milstein is going to be making a presentation. What do you want to be the takeaway? What do you want to leave the audience with after they have heard your talk succinctly? What is the message, in a brief sentence or two, that you want to get across?
That we should do everything we can to protect civil society from terrorism. We should ask kindly every one of member of our society to be patient at the point when we are asking you to register your finger. That doesn't mean that we suspect you to be a criminal. We are looking for your help to save your own life.
It seems, though, that we're really losing our privacy. I must tell you, I had a birthday recently. And for the first time in my entire life, the very first happy birthday wish I got was from a robot. I pulled up Google early in the morning, and here's a bunch of candles dancing around, and it says, "Happy Birthday, Colonel." And at first I smiled, and then I resented it because I thought, wait a minute, who is tracking me so closely as to know that this is my birthday, and Google decides to have a robot wish me happy birthday before my children or before my fiancé or before anyone. And so I resented it. And I think that there's a quite a concern over our lack of privacy in this country. And what you're saying is we should willingly give up our privacy to save ourselves from terrorism. Is that right?
You might be that sound too trivial, but you as a life member of society is better than you dead member of society. And judging these two options, freedom is not a significant loss for your life lost. Is a significant still. Don't take it as I'm not aware or I don't see the concern which are coming out with the privacy aspect of all these fingerprinting. We are thinking about this, and we are trying to come up with something which will address the concerns of privacy. Colonel, we don't have good answers to this. And the idea is, for public appearances, don't use your, say, small thing, your finger, but use it for fingerprinting. It is just of lack of understanding what, how to support biometrics against this argument of privacy. That doesn't exist, and I do not know anyone, and I wish I can learn from somebody who would tell me, look, this is the way to do biometrics, and at the same time, we're not stepping on your privacy. I'm not aware of this. But your concern is absolutely, absolutely timely, and absolutely, it's very important what you're saying.
Well, what do we miss, Dr. Milstein? I mean, what have not I asked you that you really want to get across? Have we covered everything, or is there something that we're letting slip by here?
Only one thing. You see, myself, I'm well established in semiconductor community. I'm a member of numerous organizing committees of international conferences, chairing some international congresses. I have my 270 publications. My major attention is to how good do my students. I have quite a few of them who are professors at Boston University, at the University of New York. I have a few of them who are professors at in Russia or Israel. So every time I do something, and that what is related to the fingerprinting, every time I do something, we're trying to do something which was not done before, which will allow these young scientists to publish, to patent, to demonstrate themselves. So I would say it in one sentence. Success of my students, it's my real success.
All right. Very good. Do you have a peek into the future for us? 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20 down the road? Do you see a future of what? Of a police state? Of everybody being a live identified person, but instead of being a dead private person? Or do you see a future that can live with both these things?
Well, you know what, of course, I would prefer that the driving thing will come not from the instructions of law enforcement, but from the Bible. If we people will learn to see each other not like enemies, not like one of us deprives somebody other from something, it is at that point, might be the biometrics would not be an issue at all. Might be law enforcement would be just to supervise car movements on the streets instead of protecting people against the criminals. But that's not even a dream, it's a fantasy. So I do believe that biometrics is needed. I do believe that law enforcement is needed. With what is happening in our country now, with the new president coming to the White House, I want to believe that whenever we feel that our country is important for us and therefore we are important, that will reduce essentially pressure of law enforcement of life of every one of us. But till then, we just need to do everything we can to save lives of our citizens.
Okay. Before we get out of here, Dr. Milstein, I know that you you've had a so far quite an illustrious career. You've mentored a lot of people, and you've been mentored by some pretty impressive people yourself during the course of your life. Some unsung heroes, I could imagine. How about a word of wisdom? Some words to live by. Can you give us a bit of wisdom here? What you might advise a young person, or what you might advise a close friend?
Well, I do believe that civilized society going through what essentially formats our life is the technology around. There would be not exaggeration to say that everything we do today, this is the result of invention of one thing, of transistor in 1948 by Bell Laboratories. And I would say that everyone who wants to have a full, accomplished life should be somewhat educated. The word of wisdom, try to educate yourself. Try to be educated. Try to be not simply just a member of a society. Try to understand what's going on around you, to the technology which surrounds us, to the standards of living which we have because of this. So you would hear me saying that being an educated member of society, that's what is important in my mind.
All right, Dr. Samson Milstein, Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell, speaker at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference going on April 25th and 26th. A fascinating, fascinating, fascinating interview. Thank you so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Colonel, I thank you very much for your time, and I thank you very much for inviting me for this interview. Thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, yes, the weeks were gearing up to the IEEE 2017 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies, going to be April 25th and 26th. The spring coming up at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts, and of course that's Boston. This is a famous and historic international conference on homeland security technology gaps. Key technical gaps are going to be closely examined, as they are every year. Experts gather from all over the world to confer to frame the challenges in protecting homeland assets. This year, the keynote speaker is Kay Goss, President of the World Disaster Management, and the technical program is all about emerging technologies in cybersecurity, land and maritime border security. There's biometrics and forensics. More biometrics all the time. It's getting to be really a very, very interesting subject of the show. Attack and disaster preparation, of course, and recovery and response. And, of course, strategy and threat characterization. ConOps is in it. Risk analysis, modeling, simulation, experimentation, and exercises in training, plus test beds, standards, performance, and evaluation. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Port Authority, one of the sponsors of the event, and they do a lot of buying of Homeland Security hardware and software, because it's a very sensitive thing to keep the port of Massachusetts, safe and secure. And high traffic networking. So if you attend, you'll be able to interact with other key attendees, and expect to see government officials, systems integrators, research laboratories, small businesses, academic institutions, industry leaders and investors. One of the key developers of the conference is Fausto Molinet. He is the founder of Matrix Corporation, and he's in Boston. We spoke with Fausto not too long ago on how the show came together in the first place, and here is a portion of that conversation. All right, now I want to change gears here just a little bit. You're really involved with a very successful homeland security conference that takes place in Boston every year. Were you at the beginnings of that? Were you part of the formulation early?
Yes, I was. There were several of us here in the Boston section who recognized after the 2001 attacks in New York and Washington that there needed to be a stronger emphasis on technology solutions to assist in homeland security. It's not the only thing that makes homeland security work, but technology solutions are very important. And so we said, let's come up with something that will introduce those kinds of technologies that are being developed for 3 to 5 years from today to be deployed. We would like to have a conference that will showcase those technologies, that will bring together people from the Homeland Security sector to talk about what they need, to take a look at some of these solutions, see whether or not they'll work, give inventors and early stage entrepreneurs and companies that are doing advanced research in this area an opportunity to present what they're doing. We were surprised that it took off. Well, maybe not surprised is not exactly the right word. We knew there was a need for that, but it took off pretty well. We got more papers than we expected for our first conference, and the numbers have grown beyond our expectations pretty much every year since then. We've grown from about 100 people at the first conference up to nearly 500 now, and the participation is international in scope. We've had people from Poland to China and all countries in between attending and presenting. We hear from leading technology companies like Raytheon down to two guys across the kitchen table with an idea for detecting liquid explosives. So it just runs the gamut of pretty much everything, and it's an awful lot of fun to produce, and we feel it's helped a lot in introducing some of these people to the DHS market.
Yeah, I can imagine it's been a really fun thing to put together. And every year it's grown larger, and you say 500 people, I think the point is these are very, very high-quality people. They're not tire kickers. These are really high-quality people that attend this event.
Right. That's true. We try to make sure of that. I mean, anybody can come that wants to attend, but we see a very high percentage of the people are those who are presenting the papers or perhaps offered us one that we didn't accept.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Teamwork. None of us individually can solve the complex problems of today. Solving these problems requires multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary collaboration. And what is clear to me, that with the involvement of components, we can make the research to be applicable to the real problems rather than problems that will have some time before they see the light of day. Ioannis Kakadiaris, I'm the director of the Borders, Trade and Immigration Institute, which is a Department of Homeland Security Center of Excellence led by University of Houston.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.